Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer,
who's very excited about the resources that you're providing, that we're providing together, and hope you are, you know, we're facing an election. I know that you are relaxing, not worried about these things in the workers' paradise that is Canada, but good to connect with everybody. Of course, people listen to this later, but this is kind of our election edition, I believe. So,
yeah.
So please forgive us if you're voting for MPs at another time in the great nation of the great white North or wherever. You know, we have listeners. Have you ever like mapped our listeners? I know we have people from Australia.
Yeah,
and the
we
UK,
have. Yeah, it's all over the world. Yeah,
Malaysia. I mean, it is the most listened to church planting podcast in the world. And so thank you to our listeners, and please forgive us for one election. One of the, whether it's good or bad, is the American election does capture the attention of the world.
It really
with
does.
Much eye rolling.
It does. And for a lot of our listeners, whether you're in the US or Canada or elsewhere, it has captured the hearts and, or maybe not the hearts, but at least the
maybe
minds
the,
and the eyes
the same.
Of everyone. So here's what we want to do. And if you're listening to this post-election, there's going to be a lot from this episode that you can glean into, especially as it relates to preaching, related to current events. But really, for today's episode, the question is this: what can we preach about that speaks to what people are feeling and needing right now, especially because it's the election coming up, without overstepping our boundaries? So generally, the questions, how do we preach, particularly in times and in moments when things like the election are just consuming everything?
Yeah. And it's tricky. It's tricky because should you say anything? If you say something, what should you say? If you say, for example, you can do a dog whistle. Now, and you know, that's an American political phrase. I don't know if it's used in other places, but you know, a dog whistle is a whistle you blow. I have dogs and I don't have a dog whistle though, but allegedly you blow a whistle and the dog can hear it, but nobody else can hear it.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan was kind of the master at this. Ronald Reagan would quote Bible verses to the evangelical audience, but he wouldn't say, like, as Isaiah says, he would just quote them. And so he wasn't threatening to maybe as threatening to the irreligious people, but evangelicals would say, hey, he's talking to us. That's a dog whistle. And so there are dog whistle ways to say what you think about the person you should vote for, or what your opinion is on the vote, for example. Let me give you an example. So if you were to say in the US election, you shouldn't vote on the character of the person, but on the party platform. Okay, so for evangelicals, that's pretty much a dog whistle that you should vote for President Trump. Or you could say, listen, the most important thing is, I don't know what it might be, let's just say it's, you need someone who's not erratic, or who's not explosive. You might use words like, that's kind of a dog whistle that person might think President Trump is those things and they should vote for Vice President Joe Biden. Okay, so some churches do that, and I've seen it. I've been in churches that do that. I would say I don't think that's a great idea. I would say, so when I preached, I was asked to preach at a church on Christianity and elections. And so what I did is, and I kind of took the approach, and we can put this in the show notes, that Tim Keller did in his New York Times op-ed that doesn't fit well in either party. Now, I recognize, in Canada, you don't have an either party. It's a multi-party system. And might I say that I think our country would be a better country if it were a multi-party system as well.
Yeah.
Because then it doesn't force people into this, you know, having MPs and having a prime minister, not a direct election. It's a different system, not without, you know, challenges as well. So when I preached on, here's how I did it. I said that I started with this phrase, I'm in Illinois. The sermon was Illinois. And I said, some of you wonder, what is my opinion right now? Illinois is trying to change the tax law, and they're trying to, we have a flat tax for state income tax. Now, when we both lived in Tennessee, there was no state income tax. But here, we have a flat tax for state income tax, and they want to change it so they can raise the tax rates on higher income people. Okay. So I said in church, I said, listen, some of you would like to know what my opinion is on the level of taxation in Illinois. Now, I'll tell everybody here on the podcast, my opinion is that Illinois is way too high in its taxes. And it's like, wow, very different than Tennessee, where you and I lived, you know, like New York. Sure. It's very high taxes. So I said to the church, but I'm not going to tell you what I think about that. I said it on the podcast. I said, I might say it other places. I've written about it. But at church, I'm going to talk to you about biblical issues, and nowhere in the Bible does it say what the right level of marginal taxation rates is. And I said, so what does the Bible address? So here are issues the Bible addresses. And so, yes, the Bible addresses abortion. The Bible addresses religious liberty. The Bible addresses how we speak of refugees and immigrants. The Bible addresses that issues of justice and how we might speak of and about issues of justice. And the Bible addresses racial reconciliation. And the Bible addresses poverty and how we address it. Now, when I laid out, I gave six things. And I said, so the Bible addresses these six things. So the question now you have to decide, and this is my whole point, and I'm sorry I'm going a little long, but I said, the Bible addresses these six things, so you have to decide, how does your vote best advance issues of poverty, issues of creation care? That was one of the things that I used the National Association of Evangelicals statement that included all of these things as biblical issues. I said, so, and you might say, I think the best way to address issues of the reality that the unborn are devalued in the U.S. and Canada, right? The value of the tragedy of abortion. The U.S. and Canada are one of seven nations, with North Korea and China, with these very extreme abortion laws. So how might you best do that? Is that always to vote this way or that way? Well, that's the calculus. That's the strategy of your vote that you're going to have to consider. And simultaneously, you're going to have to consider, you know, what about the racial injustice that so many of us stood up for and cared about and hopefully will after the election, after the killing of George Floyd and more. So when you talk about those things, and you can sort of see people be puzzled. It was it's a large church, but, you know, it's also, you know, with COVID, you know, but you can see part of me like, well, he's not giving us a dog whistle. And I said, exactly. Yeah. You're going to have to wrestle through this. And it's a very multicultural church. I said, people in this church are going to make different decisions. And so the question is, are we still going to be a united church when we've made some different decisions about the best way to vote to accomplish biblical objectives? Yeah. I think that kind of approach is a good approach and a better approach than just sort of hiding out in the basement and waiting for the election to pass.
No, for sure. So I guess two follow-up questions. One on the united front, right? Because polarization is just intense and insane right now. And it's almost like you say one thing, it's going to upset the other side. And you say the other thing, and it's going to upset the other side. And it's like, as a pastor, you're like, oh my goodness, it's easier just to not talk about it yet. Yeah. Yet based on what you were talking about, I was like, yeah, but maybe, but perhaps with the dog whistling, what you're talking about and not hiding out in the basement and then actually approaching it from a biblical perspective, there's that sense of, okay, well, we do need to address it, but how, right? So talk about that emotional side, because I know there's lots of pastors listening in and they're like, man, I just don't want to get those emails. I just don't want to.
And I get it. Yeah. I get it. And I feel it. I mean, so when I got complaints, you know, I got complaints from people who are saying let's name names, right? It's very clear that voting for the president means you think these things. He is these things. And by voting for him, you therefore support these things. And very similarly, by voting for the vice president, Vice President Biden, you think these things. You must be supporting these things. Now, here's the reality. There are significant things that I hear the president say that are shocking to me, and I've written on them, and I've addressed them, and expressed my disappointment or my horror, whatever it may be. There are significant things that I've heard the vice president say that I voice my horror and my outrage about. So here's, and let me say too, that each person in their own mind is going to have their own conscience, their own kind of time with the Lord, is going to have to say, how do I weight these issues? So, for example, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. I'm very committed to the pro-life cause. I think this is 100 years from now, people are going to look back and just in horror to the way the U.S. and Canada treated the unborn. And every day, the sonogram and more tools just show just how life in the womb is so precious. And I wish the world would see that. So this is a deeply important issue to me. So I weight that high, and I might weight others low. I can't rate everything high, or can't weight everything high. So, so what I wanted to say to people is that it is. So, someone comes to me and says, "Ed, I am basing my vote on abortion. That is my." And I could totally say I totally get it because I share very similar values. But if someone says to me, "I am basing my vote on the fact that the party in power at the White House has not seemed," I mean, I voted for pro-life presidents for 30 years, and yet right now Planned Parenthood is still funded and funded at a higher level than it was before, and abortion is still the law of the land. Mm. And so they might say, this strategy is not working. And so, and they say, well, this is what I'm going to do. And I would say that by our own conscience and our own strategic use of our vote, we participate in this process. And here's where it gets tricky. I might come to some different conclusions from people who deeply love the Lord. Well, and just in the US, white evangelicals and black evangelicals statistically are coming to some very different conclusions, and yet are praying together, are worshiping together, share some of the same values. I not all of them, but I want them to share values about race and racial injustice and life in the womb and religious liberty and poverty, but they come to some different conclusions. So can I say, and this is where it gets tricky, because some people simply cannot say, I cannot allow you. I mean, what they would say is, I cannot allow you to come to a different decision because we hold the same biblical values. You've come to a different decision about how to vote to get to those biblical values, but I cannot allow you to have a different opinion than me. And that's ultimately where it gets tricky.
Yes. So, okay. So let's wrap it up here, where in a few episodes, we're going to be talking about the art of a preaching calendar and talking about how to do preaching calendars. So for everyone who is listening to this real time and they're like, man, but I didn't plan on addressing this Sunday, and they have a preaching calendar, they're working through it. What last minute advice? Because we're talking about we're really focusing in on the preaching side of this right now. What advice would you give them? Is this something so significant that deems a new message, a separate message that wasn't planned for, or is it more just address it kind of in the ebbs and flows of what you are going to be, what you were already planning on preaching this weekend?
Well, there's sort of, I mean, people come from different traditions. We have people who follow the prayer book in our context, or follow the liturgical calendar, and you know, and some might say that, you know, that I was going to say that trumps those things. But that trumps the election conversation. It's that word has taken on new meaning. So I would say that, again, for me, I'm also driven by the idea that that each church, each pastor, each elders, they need to determine what's best and what's right for them. And I would say there are some churches in some areas where everybody has already made up their mind on this, and bringing that up may not be helpful. You know, I live in Chicago, and that's not the case here. You know, we're in a very blue state, and so to address some of these issues, and I got complaints on both sides. I got complaints saying that, you know, I clearly was telling people to vote for the president, and some people saying it was more what people said is, you're trying to get people to vote for the president. Someone said, you're trying to get people not to vote for the president. No one really said, it was interesting. I think because people are more in the evangelical space, it's not as much, just statistically among white evangelicals, Joe Biden's not attracting a lot of support. So it was more like people perceived it in the way they perceived me. So, and I think that's okay, you know. So what I would say is, in hindsight, I would have suggested that a better person to deliver this message was the pastor of that church rather than me as a guest speaker. I think it was very well received by the time it was done, but you could feel the tension in the room when I talked through it. And so a family meeting, you know, we had a family meeting after the election at Moody Church. You know, last election, I was the interim at Moody. We had a family meeting after And so there are different ways to bring healing, but and particularly, you know, Moody Church, 72 nations. And the assumption is a church like Moody Church would be overwhelmingly, you know, white evangelical, but it's not. It's just not culturally or racially that. And so you then find a mix of people and how they respond.
Yeah. Man, this has been so good. Well, thank you so much for listening into today's episode. Be sure to leave a question if you haven't yet done so at newchurches.com. Hit the sidebar on the right, that's to send a voicemail, or you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and send that voicemail in that way. All right, we'll catch you next time.